So Hare Krishna, thank you all very much for coming. We are in the event of getting ready for tomorrow's big festival, the Vyas Puja of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Ki. And so tonight we'll be having a short Bhagavad Gita class by His Grace Manonath Prabhu. He is this initiating spiritual master from Italy, followed by remembrances of Tamal Krishna Goswami. Thank you very much for coming.
Karta Samhitanga ready?
Oops.
So Hare Krishna, everyone is from Houston, everyone, okay, half and half, more or less. I remember you in Houston, a few years ago, you were in Houston, so I remember your face and your face also. Okay, so we are going to read and make some explanation of a verse on the Bhagavad Gita. It's going to be short. So I'm going to read it just by myself. The chapter is the fourth, text number four. Arjuna Vacha. Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvata katam etad vijnaniyam tvam adau protavam iti. Arjuna said, the sun god Vivasvan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed the science to him? The purport is from the Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Arjuna is an accepted devotee of the Lord. So how could he not believe Krishna's words? The fact is that Arjuna is not inquiring for himself, but for those who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or for the demons who do not like the idea that Krishna should be accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them, only Arjuna inquires on this point, as if he were himself not aware of the Personality of Godhead or Krishna. It's not possible to raise the volume, because I had to eat the microphone. It's just too much. Yeah, I would like to be a flip. Thank you. As it will be evident from the 10th chapter, Arjuna knew perfectly well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of everything, and the last word in transcendence. Of course, Krishna also appeared as the son of Devaki on this earth. How Krishna remained the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, the eternal original person, is very difficult for an ordinary man to understand. Therefore, to clarify this point, Arjuna put this question before Krishna so that he himself could speak authoritatively. The Krishna is a supreme authority is accepted by the whole world, not only at the present, but from time immemorial, and the demons alone reject him. Anyway, since Krishna is the authority accepted by all, Arjuna put this question before him in order that Krishna would describe himself without being depicted by the demons, who always try to distort him in a way understandable to the demons and their followers. It is necessary that everyone, for his own interest, know the science of Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna himself speaks about himself, it is auspicious for all the worlds. To the demons, such explanations by Krishna himself may appear to be strange, because the demons always study Krishna from their own standpoint. But those who are devotees heartily welcome the statements of Krishna when they are spoken by Krishna himself. The devotees will always worship such authoritative statements of Krishna, because they are always eager to know more and more about him. The atheists consider Krishna an ordinary man may, in this way, come to know that Krishna is superhuman, that he is such Chit Ananda Vigraha, the eternal form of bliss and knowledge, that he is transcendental, and that he is above the domination of the modes of material nature and above the influence of time and space. A devotee of Krishna, like Arjuna, is undoubtedly above any misunderstanding of the transcendental position of Krishna. Arjuna's putting this question before the Lord is simply an attempt by the devotee to defy the atheistic attitude of persons who consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being, subject to the modes of material nature. Arjuna Vacha Aparam Bhavato Janma Parajanma Vivasvata Katam Etad Janiyam Tvam Adao Proktavam Iti. Arjuna said, "The sun god Vivasvan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him?" Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Hare Krishna. This verse speaks about questions. We always speak, and people, devotees and non-devotees, they always ask about the qualification of a devotee, or the spiritual master, or the preacher. And not enough, they ask about an even more important topic, which is the qualification of the of those who search, the disciple, the devotee, the person who question. Questions, good questions, come before good answers, for many reasons. The Bhagavad Gita, such an important text of philosophy, so important, maybe it's the most important text of philosophy. If someone wants to understand our philosophy, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the philosophy of transcendence, this is the first book you should read. Because it starts from the scratch. It starts from the A. The ABC, this is the A, the Bhagavad Gita. So for anyone who comes here for the first time, it doesn't look like there is anyone coming here for the first time. But if we have to advise someone, to suggest to somebody a book to start, it should start from the Bhagavad Gita. And why this book, and why this conversation came out so successful to become the most important book of philosophy? Of course, someone should say, because Krishna spoke it. Yes, this is true, but it's also true that the Bhagavad Gita came out successfully because Arjuna was there. Arjuna was the perfect inquirer. If you don't have good questions, then there are no good answers. Arjuna was putting exactly the right answers, and also he was doing something very important. He would listen. There is a lot of difference. All of you, I think, are preachers. All of you, I think, gave classes. And whoever gave classes even once in his life know how important is the attention of the people who are listening. Because someone who speaks look at the face and just perceives if he's attentive or not. If he's not attentive, you feel discouraged inside your mind. You feel sad in your mind. And you speak, but it just the concept coming out are just automatic. It doesn't come really from the heart. It comes from remembrance of what you have read, of what you understood from your spiritual master. It really doesn't come out from your soul. So the speaker is important, but the inquirer also is important. And a secret of a good class is that the person should listen, and at the moment of putting questions, when he says, "Is there any question?" someone should not worry about, my question is intelligent, it's maybe stupid. You know, everyone would think that I am foolish because I'm putting this question. You know, I'm an older devotee. If I ask a question, everyone will think that after so many years you still did not understand. Actually, this is not a fact. A question does not depend from your knowledge, if you know the answer or not, because you never know what the speaker is going to answer, what he's going to say. Maybe he's going to say something different. Probably he's going to say something different. I've been a devotee so long, and I listen, and it's becoming rarer and rarer to hear a question for the first time. It's really rare, basically never happens. you already have listened to all the questions and all the answers. So I have heard answers from many different speakers, and there has not been only one time that one speaker gave exactly the same answer than the other one. The basic principle idea is there. It's always the same. But since we are individuals, we think differently. We have different, realization and understanding. And because of our particular personality, we see things from different perspectives. And different perspectives are interesting because it enriches our philosophical baggage, our philosophical understanding, that the spiritual world is very variegated. There is no one thing equal to the other one. Look at the people. Doesn't exist a body completely equal to the other one, or a person completely equal to the other one. Everything is unique. So why an inquirer should not want to hear another answer for the same question, for the same principle? So the Arjuna here is not worrying that, oh, for thousands of years, people will think that I am a fool, that I don't understand the difference between the body and the soul, which is very basic. You know, it's like ABC. It's like a child. At that time, even a child knew this fact. So Arjuna was not worrying about his reputation. And he was saying, "Krishna, you said that you spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god?" Which means basically 120 million of years ago. So Arjuna was saying, but Vivasvan is 120 million years old, and you are 100 years old. At that time, Krishna was around 100 and something years old. So Arjuna put a question because people would ask. Not because he didn't know the answer, that Krishna was eternal and Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he put this question because he wanted to hear his precise answer for his own taste and benefit. There's a difference between taste and benefit. Taste is when you know, but you want to taste it, because it's beautiful to hear it, even if you know it. It's an effect that sometimes we like to hear the same verse over and over, like the Maha Mantra or other, just because it's beautiful. And beauty doesn't stop at one time. You want to hear it again and again, just like prasadam. It's no one-time necessity. You want it every day because you like it, because you need it, because you like it. So Arjuna wanted to hear Krishna speak because of taste. But the necessity is for those who do not know. They do not hear because they want to taste it, because they do not know. So they needed to hear. And Arjuna let Krishna speak the Bhagavad Gita for the pleasure of the devotees and for the necessity of the fallen souls. Bhagavad Gita, I don't know if any one of you has read the Bhagavad Gita, just the Sanskrit. We, as a young devotees, we used to do it every day. We would read the Bhagavad Gita, just the Sanskrit. And 700 verses, you know, it's half hour, it doesn't take much. Just 700. And it's so beautiful. You remember in the sometimes the devotees do things just for pleasure, transcendental pleasure. Reading the Bhagavad Gita is a pleasure. So Arjuna was asking perfect questions, and he received perfect answers. We should practice the same thing. Try to put good questions and receive hopefully good answers, and this will purify the atmosphere. So that's why we have our day Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita class. So I said it was short, should be short. We have just 5 minutes maybe time for hopefully questions. Now you cannot refuse to put in questions, because the whole class was about questions. So anyone? Ladies also, if they want. You should yell.
When is the first time you met?
Sorry?
When is the first time you
met Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
Read the Bhagavad Gita. Yes, I was a young boy, 18 years old. And the devotees in my country, just there was no Bhagavad Gita in my language, which is Italian. I was born in Italy, I became a devotee when I was 18 years old in Rome, in Italy. So there was no Bhagavad Gita, there was no Ishopanish, there was nothing. There was just only one magazine. And I read that magazine 1,000 times, 3 times per day. So, but because I was a very disobedient boy, at that time there was much push for Sankirtan. So everyone should have gone in Sankirtan, distribute the books. And we were doing it. I was also doing it. I like to do it. But the Bhagavad Gita in English came in 1974 in Italy. Just arrived in a little box. Bhagavad Gita in English. There was an old Macmillan Bhagavad Gita. Big like this. Beautiful. Bhagavad Gita. Although it was incomplete, because the editor cut a little bit here and there, but Prabhupada was satisfied. We knew that it was incomplete, but we also knew that Srila Prabhupada said, okay, so came the Bhagavad Gita, and I couldn't read it, because I didn't know the language, so I started not going in Sankirtan, or escaping in some park, for and with my dictionary and my Bhagavad Gita, trying to understand what Prabhupada was saying. So then I learned English in 1 month, 2 months. After 2 months, I could read the Bhagavad Gita, and I read it. So I read it many, many times from that day. And I can tell you that just open, even today, how many devotees have this experience? And I shouldn't say my own intimate experience, but every time you open this book, it's like you feel like entering in an universe, just like opening the too long closed window through which you can see the most beautiful thing you can imagine. So this is the power of Srila Prabhupada books. He was a real Shukadeva, a divine parrot. He gave more taste to the Bhagavad Gita verses by not only his knowledge, but his way of transmitting this knowledge. His particular style of writing and telling us this particular language, that it was just so perfect for us. No other, but I read many versions of Bhagavad Gita, even by great Vaishnava Acharyas. It is just not the same thing. So Srila Prabhupada was real great mercy from Krishna. And he made us understand. It was so simple. I remember going from guru to guru before meeting Srila Prabhupada. And I just didn't understand what they were saying. At that time, there was one small boy. He was 16 years old, and he was called Guru Maharaj. Who knows the Guru Maharaj? Guru Maharaj is a perfect, 16 years old, perfect master. He was very famous at that time. There was 70, 71, like this. And I was going to his... I know this guy was more like this. He was fat, you know, with his mustaches. He would sit on a vyasasan in tie and pants, you know, dressed like that. He was looking very funny. And he was keeping saying the same thing over and over, no? If we cut, I remember one phrase he was saying, if you cut the branch where you sit down, you fall down. So I said, okay, then I will give you transcendental knowledge. Okay, thank you. Then I'm waiting for the transcendental knowledge. Tell me this transcendental knowledge. And this movie lasted 4.5 hours. You know, after 3 hours, I was sweating. You know, because, okay, give me this knowledge. I'm waiting for this knowledge. And then I went out completely tired and disgusted. And then I met other gurus, famous guru. I don't want to mention them because maybe someone may have some feeling for them. But the first one who really gave me this knowledge was Srila Prabhupada. When when I arrived at the temple, I arrived and my Italian was very... I come from a good family. I received a good education. So when I arrived, I started talking in Italian with a few Italian devotees. Most of them, they were from other countries. But a few Italian, they were hearing me speaking, so I had a very good Italian. So the temple president called me, and in his bed, Italian, because he was Argentinian. So, and he asked me if I could correct the Sri Sopanishad. They were translating the Sri Sopanishad. The first Italian book was the Sri Sopanishad. And I said, okay, I will correct the Sri Sopanishad. He gave me his office, the temple president office, sat down and started to correct the Sri Sopanishad. I did a very bad job because I wanted just to read. I didn't care how it was spoken. You know, his grammar, his syntax, I was just didn't care. I just wanted to read what Srila Prabhupada was saying, and it was so incredible, sweet in form and in substance. I joined 3 weeks after. I'm still here. 38 years. So it's a long time. So questions should be always be made in classes and outside the classes. When you are at home, you should always think to philosophy, open Srila Prabhupada books, and read and read and read. You should read at least 1 or 2 hours every day of Srila Prabhupada books, and your day will be completely different. You'll see the difference between a day when you read Prabhupada books for 1 hour minimum and when you don't read. You see the world differently. So I want to encourage all of you to please read Srila Prabhupada books every day.
Did you ever have the opportunity to ask Srila Prabhupada any questions?
Okay, that's a good question. When I met Srila Prabhupada, I was very young, shy boy. I'm still very shy. I don't know if you can see it, but the way I present myself, that's my nature. So Srila Prabhupada asked me, do you have a question? Because we were alone. The thing is, the first time that I saw Srila Prabhupada, I arrived as the last of my yatra to arrive in France. At the time, Srila Prabhupada in 76 went to France. So we had in Rome Gornitai Ditis installed, and the standard was very high, so it took a little 2 brahmanas, a full-time list. So the temple president chose me. I was the head pujari at the time, and another devotee. He was telling me, I was protesting, said, I want to go and see Srila Prabhupada, you know, it's my spiritual master. He's coming. I'm already a brahman. I've been a devotee for almost 3 years. And then seen my spiritual master. I want to see him. And said, oh, he will come again. Don't worry. 76. He never came again. So since I was a very sneaky boy, I said, okay. And everyone left. A few hours after, I spoke to my god brother. I said, look, I'm going. I don't care what. I'm going. And he said, go. He was very active, strong man. He said, I will do everything myself. And we had it was a Radha Krishna standard. So he could do it. So when I arrived, everyone was already engaged in services. And the services there was the Nouve Mayapur castle. It's a chateau, it's a castle. Very beautiful, nice, white castle where Srila Prabhupada was staying. I arrived, and so the services were divided according to country, like the French were all the French devotees, and we are talking thousands of devotees, thousands, all brahmacharis, 98% maybe. All there were very few grihasthas at that time. So the French devotees, they were cooking, and the German devotees were doing carpentry, and the Italian devotees were doing security. So we were engaged in different parts because there were some threat. There were a couple of community who threatened us at that time. Anyway, this is another story. So when I arrived, my dear god brother, I was a temple commander at the temple. He said, oh, Manunata, Ivo, dai, do you want a service? I said, yes, I want a service. I want a nectar service. I said, yes, I want a nectar. He was keeping teasing me and saying, do you want a nectar? The nectar, the better than, yes, I want it. And he said, come with me. He brought me just in front of Srila Prabhupada's personal door. And he said, that's your service. Next week, you are his personal guard and his bodyguard. So I had to close the door 24 hours a day. I did a 3-day trip without eating, without sleep. But, you know, we were 19, 20 years old. We were strong. We could do anything. We could lift up the world. So I stayed there for a few hours. I couldn't see Srila Prabhupada. You know, this is a long story. I don't want to say it all. So at a certain point, I just wanted to see Srila Prabhupada. He was taking prasad. I just entered, and he was there taking prasad. And he was sitting on the floor. He had his desk, but he used to take prasada seated on the floor. He had a small table like this, maybe a little bigger than this. And I was looking at him. He turned to me. He said, "Can I do something for you?" And he was keeping saying to me for 7 days. He kept saying the same thing: "Do you have any question? Can I do something for you?" And I never even reply, because all my God brothers, like Srila Ramakrishna Maharaj, had, of course, different type of relationship. And I could see my God brother entering into Srila Prabhupada's rooms and talk to him and say, "Oh, Prabhupada, these things." I couldn't talk to him. I was just blushing every time he was telling me, "Close the door or open the window or take my clothes and put in there." I was said, never talked to, so I never put any question because I was so foolish, shy, and I was. It's also a question of probably a different type of relationship one has with a spiritual master. And I had really, my feeling with him was kind of dasya, even now, a type of dasya rasa. For me, Srila Prabhupada is like a deity to be served. Just serving, service, service, not someone I can talk to. You don't talk to Prabhupada. I was thinking. And I was envying. I was very jealous of my God brothers talking to Prabhupada very normally. You know, I remember 3 or 4 GBC at the time were there talking to Prabhupada normally. And I was thinking how they can talk to Prabhupada. It was like, you know, a moving Krishna, a moving deity. So that's how I used to see, and I still see Srila Prabhupada in my life, as a person to serve. Of course, it doesn't mean that this should be how you relate with your spiritual master. Everyone has his own personality and feeling. Every spiritual master relate with disciple the way he wants. I was just telling the way I related with Srila Prabhupada. Last question and there we go. There is no question then? Mataji again? Thank you, Mataji.
What were your experiences with Jamal Krishna Maharaj? You mentioned that he was there. What were your experiences with him and how he used to serve Srila Prabhupada?
No. Jamal Krishna Maharaj was not in France at that time. There were other older devotees, like I remember Hari Kesh and Bhagavan and Hari Sauri Prabhu was also there and few others. But Jamal Krishna Maharaj was not there. I don't have any remembrance of Jamal Krishna Maharaj because we served in different continents. We never met. I mean, we met in India a couple of times and we exchanged just a few words, like, "How are you, Maharaj? Jai Prabhu, how are you?" That's all, you know, it's not. Because when he was serving in the States, I was serving in Italy. When he was in China, I was in Spain. So we had the whole planet dividing us. So I don't have any. I know just what is fame of one of the strongest preacher we had in our movement. That's how everyone was talking about Jamal Krishna Maharaj. Everyone was talking about like he was like the number one Sankirtan man in the sense that he was the most powerful Sankirtan leader because he, with Vishnujan Maharaj, he founded the Radha Damodar Sankirtan Party. And even if in Europe the countries like Italy and France, they were distributing many more books than U.S. at the time. Still there was his fame of a very strong, tough guy, strong, not easy to relate with, but also stronger with himself than with others. And overall, he was, he's always been one of the greatest champions of the ISKCON movement. So that's how I remember him, and I repute him as being one of the most important devotees, one of the most important Prabhupada disciples that was produced, you know, let's say, transcendentally produced from Srila Prabhupada power. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.